Tech for us is where you use digital tools and technologies like VR, AR, AI, blockchain, whatever suits your goals, connected hardware, right? To create products and applications that make people healthier.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to the Optimal Aging Podcast, where we discuss the business of exercise, healthy living, and well-being for people 50 and over. Each week, we explore what healthy living means for millions of people over age 50 and what's coming next, with a focus on communications, content, and making powerful connections. Natalia Karbasova is the founder of the Fit Tech Club and of the Fit Tech Summit, which is the leading conference in Europe devoted to fitness technology and the future of well-being and active lifestyles, attracting more than 1,000 high-ranking industry executives, investors, and startups, and featuring Europe's most promising startups. She spoke with us right after this year's FIBO Global Fitness Summit in Cologne, Germany. And in this week's episode of the Optimal Aging Podcast, Natalia shares a lot of valuable information about exciting developments that should help people live better lives while also revitalizing the traditional fitness industry, such as exoskeletons. Yeah, they're coming. Plus, she discusses things like artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and more, lots more, especially for gym owners who still think that Fit Tech means posting content on Facebook. But most important of all, Natalia says, is human empathy, because technology without people is meaningless. I couldn't agree more. Enjoy our conversation. Natalia, hello. Nice to see you. Thanks for joining me today from Munich.
Hi, Jay. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you. I've been wanting to speak with you for a while about fitness technology. And the timing of this couldn't be better because you just had a really exciting week last week, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, lots of exciting things happening last week, actually. So I've been part of the FIBO, which is, you know, the fitness trade show, probably the biggest one in the world. We've been part of EHFF, which is the European Health and Fitness Forum, hosted right before FIBO. We've run our own small version of the FitTech Summit on the spot for the fitness gym owners and people interested in the traditional fitness industry. And of course, last but not least, and probably the most important thing for me, is we're in the new member event for the members of the FitTech Club, which they, if I can judge by the pictures and what they said, really enjoyed.
Yeah, I bet. I want to hear all about the FitTech Club, of course, but tell me a little bit, what were some of the most exciting things that you saw or learned or encountered last week at FIBO?
Wow, this is a big question. I think one of the most exciting things is not what I saw, but what I kind of learned about the industry. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is that slowly but surely we're kind of getting there. We're getting to the point where also the traditional fitness industry is starting to understand the value of technology, right? And how technology can help them scale and serve their customers better. In terms of like new discoveries, it's a bit hard to say, because probably like what I see at FIBO right now, it's like a small proportion of the startups and companies presented there are, tech companies or like tech first companies. Whereas at the Fit Tech Summit, it's like rather 90-95%. So probably the learnings were more like on rather on understanding how the traditional industry is thinking and how the thinking models are changing, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think that's great too. So FIBO, where you were last week, was more about fitness, and the Fit Tech Summit is more about the fitness, the technology aspect of it. So that's great, because I think a lot of people, a lot of gym owners, and a lot of people in the health and well-being space are maybe lagging a bit, right? And they're definitely in the mainstream fitness angle or camp. They might not be as up to speed on all the technological innovations and possibilities as you are, might be discussed at Fit Tech Summit. So that's super. Tell us about Fit Tech Club. That's really an exciting idea you have.
That's actually more than an idea. That's our core product already. So probably just for your listeners to understand better what we're doing, where I come from, I started with the FitTech Summit as a conference, as a tech and innovation conference focusing on fitness, well-being, sports, and health 4 years ago. And at that time, we were always thinking, how can we serve the customers better, the people who come to the event better, and why are they coming to the event? So what's the biggest need? What's the biggest problem they are trying to solve? And after talking to lots of customers, we came up with the understanding that there's basically just two things that they're interested in. So the one thing is, why do you come to an event? You want to meet the right people, right? And you want to meet the right people in the right kind of setting. And what we heard from them was that the speaker's reception, for example, right before the event, or going for a drink after the event, was actually the best part of the experience. I must say, I was a bit of pissed off by that first, because we did invest lots of money and effort into making the event, the actual event experience, great, right? So at that time and that was pre-pandemic, obviously, but we kind of, rented the whole beach volleyball facility, which was as big as 5 beach volleyball fields, right? And we built everything from scratch. So that was a conference in the sand. We've had a great stage. There was like activation area where you could try out the newest workouts. So all these things. And then we come to the customers and they tell us, guys, that was great. But the best part of that was just the networking.
Yeah.
So this is where we kind of started to think where and how to invest the resources better to serve the customers best, right? And a couple of years later, I did the management buyout. I bought out the company from the corporate that I founded that within, right? So we are a separate company we've been a separate company for 2 years now. And like around a bit over 6 months ago, when it was quite clear that we cannot run physical events and even like offline, big offline networking events, right? We started to run the FitTech Club, and we launched that as a concept, right? We call this batch zero because this is when we just had the very first members starting from zero, going up to today, almost 60 members from actually all over the world, where we started creating networking experience that are fun for them. At the core of what we're doing is the meaningful connection of the members to each other, right? And we do this by running the FitTech Summit as well, which is free for the members, but costs lots of money, like offline for non-members. Mm-hmm. We're going to be running the next one in the fall of this year. Hopefully offline again. Hopefully. We'll see how the situation goes. We just create experiences where you get out of it and you're energized more than you were when you came in, which is not usually the case for big events where, run from one meeting to another.
Right. Right, gotcha. And the main purpose of FitTech is to help people understand all the changes that are coming, how to make the most of upcoming opportunities. You don't necessarily have a product or a service that you're promoting, right? It's more of a building a community.
Exactly. So our product is network, right?
Yeah.
What we do, you can call it the World Economic Forum for Fitness and Health. We collect the decision makers, CEOs, founders from the industry who are tech driven first or want to get tech driven as fast as possible, right? And we help them to connect to each other meaningfully. We help them to create new partnerships and basically to accelerate their business, but from the perspective of the human connection first. So this is at the core of what we're doing.
Okay, great. Now, I want to ask you to explain something for us that might be kind of basic, but I think that tech has become a word that means different things to different people. So tell us what you mean when you talk about fitness tech, because I still hear people refer to tech as Facebook. I don't like tech. I'm not on Facebook. It's like, well, Facebook isn't tech. Sorry. So tell us what you mean what you mean by fit tech in this context for folks.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay. What we define by tech is it's also big, right? So there's no like one very clear definition of what tech is, but let me just give you some examples, probably that helps a bit. Tech for us is where you use digital tools and technologies like VR, AR, AI, blockchain, whatever suits your goals, connected hardware, right? To create products and applications that make people healthier. So that's okay. Pretty much how I understand fit tech. And at the lowest end of that, we'll probably have, you know, the CRMs that use AI. But at the highest end of that, you have exoskeletons and you have electrical muscle stimulation devices that are using AI and software to make your experience great. You know, we're also speaking about like simple apps. That's also fit tech for us, right? But also things like, of course, VR experiences, the combination of different kinds of experiences like gym experiences combined with VR, connected home fitness is also fit tech, right? As long as you use the technology component, this is fit tech. And this is also something that is clearly this an intersection of, you know, health tech in terms of healthy living, not medication, right? And of course, well-being, because we define fit tech not just as things that, you know, help you get fitter in terms of the muscles and physical fitness, mm-hmm. but also in terms of the mental fitness. I mean, this is a huge, huge topic, right? Also in terms of your sleep optimization, also in terms of nutrition. So this is also fit tech for us.
I'm so glad that you brought up all those topics because I try to address those on this podcast regularly, that it's not just going to the gym and exercising, that we need to do more. We need to think about more aspects of our life. And though you just mentioned some of them. So
look, exactly, Jay. I mean, seriously, what the best athletes in the world are cracking right now is the code of sleep. I would call it this way, right? Because sleep is probably the last barrier that you still can and need to optimize. Physical fitness is part of that, but it should begin with sleep, then comes nutrition, and then you do the physical exercise in this order, not the other way around.
Yes, that is a profound shift that I think we're starting to see, at least at a certain level of awareness within the fitness industry and at least among the end users here in the States. We hear a lot more about recovery, which includes, of course, sleep and rest and taking care of your body on those days when you're not just going to the gym and banging it out really hard, right? So you mentioned you mentioned mental health. When I think of fit tech, I don't think of mental health. Tell me what the connection is there and how fit tech is helping with that.
Well, you know, the pandemic has shown that mental health is like a huge issue for older generations, but also for younger generations. And I mean, basically for everyone. If we just think about the adult generations, the workers, those who are earning good money and, you know, are really driving the economy forward, right? There's been studies that say that, you know, every dollar invested comes back several times in terms of productivity if it's about mental health. Mm-hmm. And probably one of the examples for the intersection of fit tech, mental health, and also productivity is this one, the one that I'm holding in my hands right now. This is called Cov. And this is, for those who will be just listening to this podcast, this is kind of the headband that you put behind your ears like this way, right?
Yeah.
And you just turn it on and it starts vibrating like very slightly behind your ears. By doing this, it stimulates the areas of the brain that help you de-stress. Right. So you got to do that for like 20 minutes, two times a day. And then you gradually start to notice the results. Right. I must say this is a very interesting experience because that's not like, you know, easily quantifiable. Right. Mm. But like on the personal perception scale, I would also say that I feel better afterwards. Right. This could also be a placebo effect. So that's always a question, you know, how you measure the success. And this company is being run by François Kress, who is the former CEO of Bulgaria, of North America, for example. So the guy has been in the luxury space like forever, right? And he knows his way around building brands. So it's interesting to see, I know it on a different note, right? It's just interesting to see how many new, fresh people from other industries are entering this space that was previously just reserved for the, you know, traditional fitness guys who had their sports MBA, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And just started doing products. Now we see lots of new people from different industries, consulting, luxury, pure health, something different, just going to this market and starting to change things. And of course, we all know about the big tech efforts to enter the health and fitness space. Just look at what Amazon is doing, what Facebook is doing with the metaverse as well, what Google is doing. So lots of things. And Apple, of course, Apple that sees itself as a healthcare company, basically, mm-hmm. right? So all these guys are entering the space, which means the space is getting crowded. There's more and more innovation, and there's probably less and less space for traditional fitness models. So this is why I told you in the beginning that I'm so happy to see this mental shift starting to happen in the traditional fitness industry, because they start to understand that the space will not be that empty for any longer. And in fact, it's not really empty for a couple of years already.
We'll be right back after a short break. Hey, everybody wants to bring in more money and to save time, right? Well, our friends at Nomly are here to help you improve your gym's communications with clients and grow your business. Join more than 300 fitness coaches who are doing more business with less work. Nomly helps to systematize and simplify gym operations by centralizing member data and communications so gym owners can increase their customer lifetime value, improve staff efficiencies, and raise the bottom line. This centralized communications tool helps you in lots of ways. It helps you orchestrate referral programs at the push of a button, helps you hold clients accountable with built-in two-way texting, and it lets you rest assured that all your clients' messages are being handled properly. Schedule a free consultation today at nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. That's Nomly, nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. Back to the show.
And the Apple Watch is a really interesting example of course, wearables, right? And wearables have come so far so fast, or at least to me, not being an expert like you are, just an ordinary consumer here in the U.S. Is there still great potential for wearables, particularly regarding people who are older? You know, the focus of this podcast is generally, not entirely, but generally fitness and well-being among people who are 50, 60, a little bit older than the usual market. So where do you see wearables in all of this?
Well, there is definitely potential, right? And I think that the whole definition of wearables is shifting towards being like really a wearable. A wearable is not just a watch, right? A wearable is something that you can literally wear. Like, let's think of the company Strive Tech, right? Because they create a smart apparel that can track injury or potential injury and prevent the injuries for professional athletes, right? But if they can do this for professional athletes, they can also do this for the broader population. It just needs a bit of time, right? And so this is where I believe that the applications or products from the professional sports space or even medical space will be entering the broader market increasingly in the next years, right? Also, let's think about Whoop, right? Probably your listeners have heard about them. This is a company which is valued with over $4 billion now. I think it was like 3.6 or something, 7. So it's around $4 billion. And what they do is basically a wearable that looks like a normal strap. So, you know, it's nothing spectacular. It's not even a watch, right? It doesn't have a display. But what it does greatly is collecting lots of data points and helping you to understand where you stand right now in terms of recovery and in terms of your energy level. And the founder of the company, Will Ahmed, also is very proud when saying that Whoop is probably the only wearable that tells you when not to work out, because it's all about the balance, right? Also, if we think about other form factors like rings, I think they have great potential. Let's think about the Oura Ring, which mm-hmm. is currently valued at over $2 billion. The guys are also like really focusing on sleep, what we talked about. Sleep and regeneration and injury prevention are becoming like the, or are already the mega trends that are driving the space of wearables as well.
I also want to ask you about something you mentioned briefly, the exoskeleton. Tell me about exoskeleton technology.
Well, that's probably also wearable in a way, right?
Yeah.
You have to wear it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm not an expert, but what we do have in the club, we have a company in the club, which is called Tonus Tech. The guys are working on the exoskeleton for elderly. They still haven't hit the market. That'll take probably a couple of years, mm-hmm. Because this is a very research intense product, right? But this is something that would help elderly to start with to have more freedom of movement, right? And also probably the range of movement. So this would just help you to use your muscles better and to ultimately enjoy your life better. And again, they're starting with the older populations, but in the next step, I can totally imagine them creating exoskeletons for just normal people like you and me who, you know, you wanna go for a hike, you just go for a hike, not for 3 hours, but for 10 hours and you're not tired, right? So this will help you enhance your performance in the long run. And these are exactly the borders that are being more and more kind of disappearing more and more between like preventative healthcare, or performance sports. And this is what we also call fit tech, because mm-hmm. this is the technology that helps you keep fitter and healthier, regardless how old you are, or for what goal exactly you might need this technology.
Okay, so how does an exoskeleton help make someone fitter? You know, remember, for most folks hearing this, we might not really be sure what that is. It seems more like this science fiction kind of Terminator suit that you're wearing. So tell me what it really is and how that helps ordinary people live better lives.
Look, if you consider exoskeleton science fiction, then you should have a look at Mojo Vision, which is the AR contact lens, which is science fiction for me, which is already there, right? So I've just been in San Francisco and visited the guys at the headquarters, and they're probably just a couple of years ahead from the market introduction, right? And this is where it's really going to become very interesting for us, where you can kind of augment your vision and create new layers of reality with the help of augmented reality. But coming back to your questions in terms of exoskeletons, like first, I would like really recommend you to chat to the founder. I'm happy to connect you because she is the professional. You know, she can tell you everything.
I would love that.
Definitely, I'd love to do this. But to put that simply, this is like just the thing that helps you be more stable on your feet, to use your muscles better, and also to enhance the muscle force, the strength that you have, and to bring to a different level, which means you'll be able to do more with your body. For example, when you're recovering or having some muscle issues, right, or exoskeletal issues, this is the product that would, or the whole category of products, right, that could be introduced for the elderly to help them live like more fulfilled lives. Mm. Have their movement back, have their muscles back in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. A lot of what you're talking about is, you know, of course, by nature, several years from hitting the sort of everyday person, right? So what can gym owners and well-being professionals and healthcare providers be doing now and in the coming year as we continue to segue out of the pandemic to make smart use of technology without being overwhelmed, you know, by it's all so exciting. And there's always so much news coming at us all the time about this new thing that's going to help us do something better. Any advice on how to make sense of augmented reality and artificial intelligence and exoskeletons, and particularly in helping people get back to the gym, get back to exercising and living a healthier life?
Well, it depends where you are now in your journey, right? If you have enough cash and if you're big enough, then I like really recommend you to start kind of an innovation department where you will try out new things, right? If you're a mid-size or a small gym owner, then probably you don't have that much cash on the side. So here I would probably look more into the existing status quo, so where you guys stand right now with very simple things, which are not even fit tech, but like, where are you in the digital customer journey, right? To start with, what are the relationships to your customer? Do you have like a CRM that is tracking relevant data points? Do you know when the customer will probably jump off and cancel the membership? Can you predict these things? How do you know? How do you communicate with your customers? What's your presence on social media? And I know this is like, you know, this sounds super basic, but it just doesn't make sense to jump into the shiny new world if the foundation is not there yet. So first of all, lay the foundation, understand where your digital assets are right now, what kind of assets you need, and where do your customers stand? Do they need these things, right? Because the back end is something that you can really change for yourself. That's the way you run your business more efficiently. The front end, the way I call it, meaning, you know, new interfaces, introducing new technology that is directly interacting with the customer, that's a different thing. And that really depends on what kind of customers you're serving. If you're serving older generations of customers, I would say like 60 plus, although we know that the whole notion of age is shifting right now as well. So I don't really feel good as saying it's the older generation. It's like the probably more ripe, you know, a riper generation of people, or more experienced generation of people.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, right? I wouldn't say they don't need technology, but you need to understand your customers best and to understand what kind of problems they're trying to solve. Just let me give you an example. We've just discussed with the founder of CardioScan, which is the body analysis, how do you call it? It looks like a portal. It looks like a big iPhone, like a big iPhone frame, right? The human size or even bigger. You just get into it, you get scanned, you get your body analyzed, you get your muscle mass analyzed, your biological age, nutrition index, a heart rate variability. You know, all of those things are kind of set up on a beautiful interface, which is very easily understandable. And this is where you get like personal recommendations, how much load or strain your body can take on today. So what the CEO, Mark Vidal, told us at the FitTech Summit was like, that surprised me a lot. Because he said, you know, lots of their customers, and these are the gadgets that are, you know, being placed in the gym, right, to create a better kind of touch point for the customers and also help them understand where their health status is right now. Lots of their customers and lots of people who are using this gadget are actually like pretty old, right?
Yeah.
And for us, that would be like kind of counterintuitive, right? We would say, well, probably the youngsters would love to work and to play with technology. But the reason is that the interface is super easy to use, right? That's like really one or two steps to get started. So it's not a big deal. This is where this customer journey and user experience, a simple user experience comes into place, right?
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hey, are you a fitness professional trying to grow your business with people over 50? If you are, then you need to know how to communicate with them, how to market to them, and how to get them to know you, like you, and trust you with their fitness and their money. We're talking about the baby boomers and more. People who are a little older and a little younger are still in this demographic slice that I'm talking about. People who are older than the typical client or prospect that gyms and studios go for. They have more time, more money, and better motivation to become excellent long-term fitness clients for gyms, studios, and trainers. Prime Fit Content is the only content marketing company designed specifically to help you engage people in this group and to distinguish yourself from competitors in your community. It's effective, it's easy to use, and it's super affordable. Check it out at primefitcontent.com. That's prime, like prime of your life, fit content, primefitcontent.com. Back to the show.
And he said, you know, we notice lots of older people using CardioScan and not wanting to disturb the trainer because they don't feel good by, you know, distracting, in their opinion, distracting a trainer or a coach on the floor. They just want to do that by themselves. Mm. That's the first thing. And second thing, they want to have the ownership when making the decision what kind of data they want to show to the trainer, right? If they are making progress,
yeah,
they are more inclined to share this data with their coach and to kind of show off, right?
Yeah.
And this also gives them the feeling of achievement, right? If they're not, they'll probably not show this data, but probably they'll be motivated to do like another workout or whatever, or kind of change their lifestyle a bit, right? So this is very interesting, and I don't think we have kind of, we should write off, so to speak, the older generation when it comes to technology. I think it's just about understanding what kind of user journey makes sense for them and what kind of journey makes sense for them in the context of this specific gym.
Excellent. Now, you used a phrase a moment ago. I think notion of aging is shifting, the notion of generations is shifting, and I think that's really interesting. I wonder if you could, if we could talk a little bit more about that, because that is always a question that we have here when we're talking about fitness and well-being and quote unquote older people. And do we call them older? Do we call them retired? Do we call them over 60? Do we stop talking about this? Because what difference does it make anymore? You know, I pick 50 because that's about the age when people are starting to think about retiring and their kids are either gone or about to be gone. And women are generally going through menopause and men are, their testosterone levels are dropping. So that's kind of why I picked it. But it is an interesting idea that all this is really changing, right? Because to be 65 today is not what it meant 20 years ago, 40 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there are certain biological processes happening in the body. Your muscle mass is kind of sizing down. Your bone density is also getting worse. So there are like specific standard recommendations that you have for specific age groups, right? So, you know, I also have like my fitness trainer license, which I did just for the fun of it to understand better like the kind of the business that we are working with. And one of the things that I do remember, although I never worked as a personal trainer, like not for 1 hour in my life, is that of course, like starting with like 45, 50, you definitely need to pay attention to two things, probably to three things. So first one is the muscle mass, right? You need to do the strength training because this is where your muscles start kind of shrinking in a way. I think it's around 3% per year.
Yeah.
Second thing, you need strength training also for higher bone density to prevent injuries. And we know that lots of elderly people, you know, get injured severely by just falling on the floor because their bones are so fragile, right? And another thing is how do you call it in English? The proprioception is probably the right word. I'm not sure if this is the right one, right? The kind of the feeling of your own kind of...
where you are in space.
Exactly. Yeah. Feeling where you are in space, where your part, the parts of your body are in space, which means just you need to work on balance, to put it simply, right? So these are the things that are like super important the older you get. And also stretching and mobility training, which are two different things, are also super important, although those are important at any age. Right?
Yeah. So why? What did you mean by the idea that the notion of generations is shifting?
I know that you still want to ask this question.
Yeah.
Well, this was one part of that. Of course, there, as I said, there are biological processes that you cannot shift, right? Because this is like how the body works, right?
Right.
And also the mind workings are becoming super important because this is where you need to make sure that you're still agile, that you learn new things, that, and physical training can also help with that, regardless of the type of training, right? But in terms of the notion of generations, hey, look, let's just think about what's coming up in the future. And what we see is that the world's population is getting older. Like that's a fact, right? We are aging rapidly. Like I've got some stats that between 2015 and 2050, so within 35 years, the proportion of the world's population over 60 years will nearly double, right? So it'll go from 12% to 12.2% globally. And that means in absolute terms, that's going to be increased from 900 million people to 2 billion people globally aged over 60, right? And at the same time, we also know that around 15% of adults aged over 60 suffer from a mental disorder. That's what the World Health Organization tells us, right? So this is like one side of the medal. On the other side of the medal, we also know that lots of processes have been automated. We know that the notion of jobs and like what you're supposed to do in this specific job position, right, is shifting. And I'm also a big fan of Harari, who is an Israeli historian, right? And the author of several books, including Homo Deus and 21st Lessons for the 21st Century. And where I totally agree upon with him is that probably in the future we'll probably need to shift like several jobs within our lifetime that are very, very different, right? And where you'll have to really learn fast because technology is developing that fast, right? Mm-hmm. So that means we'll probably need like drone operators, like that's reality already, right? We'll need a VR programmers. We'll need people who are working with at the intersection of technology, but also at the intersection of humanity, right? In terms of empathy is becoming more important. And look, let's think about empathy. Empathy is something that you tend to develop with age, right? Because mm-hmm. you have experienced lots of things. You have experienced pain. You have experienced
loss.
Loss. I was looking for this word. you have communicated with lots of people. You've interacted with lots of people. So you kind of can feel better where another person is standing, right?
Yeah.
You're probably not that fast in your mind, or you're probably not that strong as you used to be like when you were 20 or 30, right? But for this, you have developed different qualities. And these are the qualities that we as humankind will definitely need the faster technology develops. Because you cannot just, you just can't just throw our technology into the space and say, hey, have fun, right? We need to still be human. And it's all about being human to each other. And empathy is probably the most important human feature or human characteristics that we have. And this is where all the generations also come into play and become more and more important. Did this answer your question?
Oh, yeah. That answers my question very beautifully. We don't often hear people talk about empathy and responsibility to each other when we're talking about fitness or when we're talking about technology, right? So I really value that you put that in there. And I think that that's a lovely spot for us to kind of conclude on, to make sure we end on a real humanistic point.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, I love it. And you know what? I think like I love technology. We are tech positive, right?
Right.
And we also say technology doesn't make sense without humans. It's humans who operate technology, it's humans who develop technology, and it's humans who use technology. So empathic technology is probably the next trend of the coming decades. How do we make sure that tech that we develop, and of course here I'm talking about fit tech and health tech, which is per se works with humans, right? How can we make sure that this technology stays humane and also helps us become more empathetic?
Well, I think just just everything that you've been talking about regarding the fit tech, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like what is helping us do is see each individual more as an individual. So instead of saying, oh, you're 65, therefore you are this kind of person and everything about being 65 is the same for all of you. A lot of this technology can help us see each individual for who he or she is, what they're capable of, all of this, correct? And that's going to lead to more empathy, I think, because it sees us all, helps us see each other as individuals.
Jay, 100%. I also think that helps us see each other or ourselves in a more empathetic manner, right? Because people tend to forget what they are and how they work and live, probably not in different order, live and work best.
Yeah.
and one of my personal goals is to help humans reconnect to their bodies, right? And you can do this with the help of technology, right? Technology is the first step, but that's not the final step.
Yeah, that's great. I want to let you go. I want to be respectful of your time, but tell the folks where to go online to learn more about Fit Tech and how to get involved with your organization.
Look, that's super easy. Two things. First of all, go to the website fittechsummit.com. Fit Tech Summit is one word, right? And there you'll also see things about the club. And second thing, just find me on LinkedIn. I spent half of my life on LinkedIn, speaking of technology.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's Natalia Kaprasova. It would be nice if you guys just, drop me a note and tell me you listen to the talk with Jay, because then I can kind of put you into the better context, and then let's connect.
And I will put all of that in the show notes so you can go there and see what that is, but fittechsummit.com and connect on LinkedIn. Okay. Well, gosh, thank you so much. This has just been a real pleasure for me. I've learned a lot. And I'm so glad that you, again, let you brought it back down to treating each other as human beings. So Natalia, thank you so much.
It was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Croft, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps us grow our audience. I also hope you'll share any comments you have with me in an email or on social media, including suggestions for people I should interview or topics I should cover. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at jay@primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y at primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join us next time.